the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins, and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take the insert for the fourth Sunday in Lent. We chant the introit.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children,
and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 32 responsively by a whole verse, verses 1 through 8.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Wasted away through my groaning all day long. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
Behold, the new has come. All this is from God,
who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Lenten verse.
Your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' Began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' He was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ."
We confess together the Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came.
down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Now I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 609.
Jesus, sinners, don't receive.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Dear beloved in Christ, we have before us the most well-known and beloved parable of our Lord, called the Prodigal Son. But I've entitled my sermon, The Two Sons, because in reality, there are two prodigal sons. Prodigal means lost and needing to be found. Both the younger and the older son were prodigal and needed the compassion of the father. So as we consider this most well-known parable and apply it to ourselves today, we rejoice in what Luke says before Jesus tells the parable. Jesus was eating dinner and receiving sinners and eating with them. And the tax collectors and the sinners hear him and are glad to hear him. They were like the younger son who squandered everything. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled against Jesus, thought they were better than the other people. And they are like the older son who is filled with pride. And this is why Jesus tells this parable, to make a point. So picture for a moment the context. Jesus is in a house somewhere with well-known sinners and tax collectors of the town and village, scandalizing some people. And this is one of the most beautiful sentences we will ever hear. The accusation that they made against him is so comforting. This man receives sinners and eats with them. If you're a sinner, then Jesus receives you. If you're not a sinner, you don't need Jesus. But if you are a sinner, like we just sang, Jesus sinners doth receive, he wants to receive you and eat with you. And he does here in Holy Communion. Isaiah foretold this in the Old Testament lesson. The Lord God is my salvation and my strength and my song. His name and deeds are exalted. He does gloriously. The Holy One of Israel is my salvation. This was foretelling the coming of Jesus, who says, we were dead and we are alive again. We were lost and are now found. We had left God's house and home, but our Father has found us and brought us to life again in Jesus Christ. And we again are welcome at his table. So let's consider today, first of all, how we are sometimes like the younger son, which stands for the prodigals and the lost Gentiles. Other times, we are like the older son, angry Jewish Pharisees and teachers. But for all of us, Jesus is like the compassionate Father who comes running to us to kiss us and embrace us. Let us begin. Sometimes we are like the younger son, the sinners and the tax collectors. In this parable, Jesus says, the younger son said, Father, give me the share of my inheritance that is coming to me. By the way, this was an insult. You receive the inheritance when your father dies. This boy wants it now. But the father did it. He divided his property among the two. And please note, the older son always received more. It's very likely that the older son received two-thirds of the inheritance and the younger son one-third. It was fair. It was how they did things. But then we know about the younger son. He gathers up all this property, all this money. He goes on a journey to a far country, which means out to where the Gentiles live. What does he do? He squanders the property in reckless living. One can only imagine how he did that. But he spent everything. Not a cent is left. Obviously, he's in need, and now all of a sudden there's a severe famine, and there's nothing to eat, and he has no money. Jesus is showing that this young man was in the gutter, literally. because now he hires himself to a citizen among the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't have any problem with pigs, but it was an unclean animal to the Jews. How much lower could a Jewish boy be than to feed pigs and not even able to eat the pods the pigs ate? Jesus is saying, you just can't sink much lower than this. But he comes to himself. He wakes up. Here I am perishing with hunger. My father's hired hands are eating a good dinner. I will arise and go to my father, and this is true contrition and sorrow. Father, I have sinned against heaven, which is God, and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired hand. So he rose and he went. Everything the younger son did was appropriate. He should have woken up and realized how far he had fallen. He should have had sorrow of the way he treated his father. He should indeed return to his father and confess. He was indeed going to confess his sin. He did acknowledge that he didn't just sin against his father, but against the Father in heaven. He was correct to say that he was no longer worthy to be called the Father's son. And it was a fair thing to ask, just to make him one of the hired servants. This is a beautiful picture of true contrition and sorrow. Sometimes we're sorry for our sins. Other times we're sorry that we got caught. This is true sorrow for sin. We know our sin because we know the Ten Commandments. We know that we have had other gods and taken the Lord's name in vain and despised word and sacrament. We have disobeyed authority. And we have lusted, and we have stolen, and we have hated, and we have coveted, and we have gossiped. We've done all these things. You know the law, you know your sin, and you realize it. The effects are guilt. People live with guilt when they don't acknowledge their sin. We return to confess that sin. This is why at the beginning of every single divine service, after the invocation, which reminds us of our baptism, the very first thing we do is confess our sins, like we did this morning, and hear the words of absolution. We are called to be like this younger son, not only on Sunday morning, but every day, to admit our sin, to confess it, and have true sorrow over it, and admit that we have sinned against God and against one another. We are called to be like this younger son. Daily lives of contrition and repentance and faith. However, there are other times that we are like the older son, which stands for the angry Jewish Pharisees and teachers, the religious leaders. Now Jesus describes the older son. The older son, who had received the majority of the estate, the older son was well taken care of. But he was out in the field doing his work. When he comes in, he hears music and dancing. He has no idea what is going on. So he asks the servants, "What does this mean?" And the servants happily say, "Your brother's come back safe and sound. Your father's killed the fattened calf for him." The older son is filled with anger and bitterness and envy. He refused to go into the banquet, and that was an insult also to his father. The father comes out and pleads with him to come in. The father shouldn't have had to come out of the banquet. The son should have gone into the banquet, but the father comes out of the house to his son. But he won't repent. He is filled with bitterness. All the things he says are accusations against his father. Even though his father has been gracious to him and given him 2/3 of the estate, "All these years I've served you, I never disobeyed you." Certainly he had disobeyed him. "You never even gave me a party with a goat for my friends. And now this son of yours," you notice he doesn't admit that the kid brother is his brother. this son of yours. He returns. He devoured his property with prostitutes. You killed the fattened calf for him. I'm not coming in. This is also a picture of you and I. Sometimes we look at the lives of other people and we get bitter and envious and self-righteous. Well, I'm a better person than that person is. Why is this happening to me? This is pride. When we're filled with ourselves, filled with arrogance and pointing at other people, not admitting our own sin, but thinking that we're better than everyone else. The older son and you and I also need to hear the law, to repent of that attitude of pride and arrogance, to come in humility to the Father and say, Lord, I confess my bitterness and my envy and my anger. I confess it. I turn from it. I repent of it. I come back to your house, O Father, to repent, to be forgiven. If you look at your life, sometimes you've really messed it up like the younger son. If you look at your life, sometimes you've been arrogant like the older son. But the Father has compassion on both sons. The Father has compassion on you and me. The extravagance of the Father's action can only be described this way. In Jesus' day, the owner of an estate never, ever ran. Never. Everybody ran to him. This man has this large estate with vineyards and farms and all these people waiting on him. He would click his finger and the servants would come running to him. So the people of the village are absolutely shocked when they see this. The father sees his son from a long way off. He feels compassion. He runs down the road to his son before the son has even gotten to the estate. He embraces him. He kisses him. He is so overcome with love. He doesn't care that the village would be shocked to see the master of the estate running like a little child down the street. This is the picture of God's extravagant love through the person of Jesus Christ, through whom he has come running down the road from heaven to earth to you and me. He heard his son's confession. The son said, Father, I have sinned before against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You notice the father is so happy to see him, he doesn't even let the son finish his statement. The son was going to say, make me a hired hand, but he never even got to it. Because his father, filled with compassion, said to the servants, bring him in the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. Get shoes for his feet. He must be barefoot. Kill the fattened calf. We must eat and celebrate. My son was dead and is alive. He's lost and is found. And they all began to dance and celebrate. The point of this is that the father was hearing the confession, forgiving him, and you'll notice he's restoring the son to full sonship. The ring means you're my son again. The robe means I've clothed you as my son. The shoes say that you're going to properly be dressed on my estate. And the banquet means we're going to celebrate that you have come home and you're restored to sonship. This is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The ring of Christ's righteousness, the robe of the holiness of Jesus, and the shoes of the gospel of peace have been given to us. In the words of absolution, Jesus used my lips to tell you, I have forgiven your sin. Come to the banquet and celebrate. And in holy baptism, you are clothed with the royal robe of my righteousness. But the father also reaches out to the older son. He says to him, we had to rejoice. Your brother was dead and is alive. He's lost and is found. He's telling his older son, everything I have is yours. You are still my son. Don't you want to celebrate with your younger brother out of love? The younger brother should have put away his bitterness and with a smile on his face said, it is good to see my brother. And come in and embraced his brother and kissed him and joined in the dancing and the singing. The mastery of Jesus' parable, because he was telling this to the Pharisees, he does not say whether the older son did that or not. This is the master teacher, Jesus. He left it open to them. Well, Pharisees, religious leaders, are you going to come into the banquet and celebrate or not? It's up to you. And so Jesus leaves that out. Because they were to hear the parable and realize we should rejoice that Jesus eats the tax collectors and sinners. Maybe some of them did, maybe some of them didn't. But the key to the Father's compassion is this. Just as in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was sacrificed and the blood placed over the doorposts of their homes, Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, as we come to Holy Week, offer himself as the lamb to be slaughtered. It is in his flesh and blood that God has reconciled the world to himself, St. Paul said this morning, not counting our trespasses against us. Christ knew no sin and became sin for us, so that his righteousness would be placed upon us, which Luther describes as the great exchange. Jesus took our sins upon himself and took his righteousness and gave it to us. He put on the tattered rags of our sin, and he gives us the royal robe of his righteousness. We are now, as St. Paul said, a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. We are ministers and ambassadors of reconciliation. We go everywhere to tell people, God in Christ has placed your sins, times you squandered what he gave you, or the times you've been filled with pride. Those sins have all been placed upon Jesus Christ. It was atoned for in his death and the shedding of his blood. And the Passover lamb gives himself to you now in Holy Communion, his body and blood, the banquet and feast of the Lord. So in conclusion, as we are in the middle of the 40 days of Lent and come soon to Palm Sunday and Holy Week, rejoice. You and I are clothed in the festival robes, the ring and the sandals of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is a celebration. Music and dancing includes Jews and Gentiles, people from all nations, whom the Father has come with compassion and embraced and kissed through God's word and sacrament. We come each week to the feast of the Lord's table and celebrate. All this was accomplished for you and me. We were dead and we are now alive. We were lost and we are now found. God the Father, through Jesus Christ his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, has come running to you. Let us rejoice in the banquet and feast that knows no end. To Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Prayer of the church, we stand to pray.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, you welcome us into your family for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Call us to repentance when we wander from your ways, or believe that we've earned a place in your household by our works. And instead, return us to the confident joy that in Christ alone are we found and alive. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, as you've made your deeds known to us, that you bless all the vocations in your church, pastors and lay people, and our daily neighbors as we serve you. This week, bless Hadley German, Emily Schuster, Lawrence Ruluski, and Michael Kramer, Lamani Beecham, Jan Merchant, Kathleen Ahrens, Caden Scobble, and Lois Bollinger as they celebrate their birthdays, and Stan and Misty Sandelbach as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Father in heaven, that you have reconciled the world to yourself. Continue to bless the work at Trinity Lutheran Church here in our community. Also bless Pastor Gary Schultz and his wife Stephanie as they serve in West and Central Africa and in these Central African nations for the formation of pastors who serve in Togo, Guinea, and the Republic of Congo. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, hear our prayer for all who cry out for mercy, healing, and help. Gabrielle Geisler, Claire Jones, and Lorraine Trinka, Joe Waller, Melody Lechtenberg, and Timothy Maltz, Elizabeth Dye, Winona Kucerik, and Darlene Miedrich, Raymond Sandelbach, Candy Darmody, and Chris Henderson, Dwayne Brzoski, and Patsy Roller. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask that you provide rain for the crops of the earth, O Lord, and grant that we may have our daily bread in abundance. We ask that you'd watch over our nation and all whom you've placed in authority, and give them wisdom and prudence, that we might live in peace. And continue to bless Mike Gobble, Ricardo Batanga, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Danny Green, Alex Laffin, and Courtney Tate, as they serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray also for the people in the country of Ukraine. Almighty God, you alone can establish lasting peace. Forgive our sins, we implore you. Deliver them from the hands of their enemies, to be strengthened by your defense, that they may be preserved from all danger, and glorify you for the restoration of tranquility in their land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great in the midst of us is the Holy One of Israel, who visits us this day with his body and blood. As we come to this feast of Christ's Holy Communion, give us penitent hearts to receive Christ Jesus as our strength and salvation, making known his greatness in all the earth. For into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
At this time, we ask that you fill out the ritual friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the offering.
Page 208, Service of the Sacraments, please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice in the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink of his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham, our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ,
of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. minutes, page 211, we stand to sing. Upon you favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.